mountain, river, and plain through wind and storm, rides Anne of the Airline.
Unable to make herself heard over the wind of a Florida hurricane, Anne Baker failed to acquaint Interstate Airlines pilot Jack Baker with the secret frequency of the government radio station from which he is to receive instructions as he works to get the inside workings of the illicit diamond syndicate, which is smuggling those precious stones from Africa into America. Without the all-important wavelength, his only link with the forces of law and order, Jack has flown a new experimental transport ship into the heart of the Florida Everglades, being accompanied by two members of the syndicate, Vic Morgan and Joe Tolliver. Undaunted by the force of the storm, Anne prevails upon Pete Peterson, Jack's co-pilot, to fly a borrowed AirCat speed ship over the Everglades in the hope of finding the hideaway airport. After almost an hour of flying about, Pete and Anne locate the secluded landing field, and Anne steps from the cabin of the speeding AirCat to make her first parachute jump down to the perilous landing afforded by the marshy waste of the Everglades. Will she land safely, and will she be able to reach Jack Baker without being seen by the watchful eyes of the gangsters? Listen.
Gee, don't it ever stop when it starts storming down in this neck of the woods?
It's dying down a little now, Joe. I hope you're right, Baker. And just the minute that it gets safe to get out, Joe is going to take that car over there and make a dash for that oil outfit's place.
Listen, Vic, can't you call him up? I tell you, it's dangerous driving over that road right after a wind. A road made out of logs ain't a picnic in the first place. And when you put a few dozen trees across it every mile, it's just too much.
What's keeping you from getting out and pulling the trees off to one side? Joe, you're getting positively lazy.
Yeah? Well, them alligators that go slithering off every time you take a step ain't lazy. Try the phone again.
It won't do a bit of good. You might just as well get ready to make that little run. And Baker, you might just as well quit looking out of that window. That plane that went over a little while ago wasn't any of your gang.
I was just looking to see if there was a chance of this storm clearing up a bit so that I could go over to the hangar and sort of look that transport over a little more. There's still a lot of things about her I don't know.
I never saw so many gadgets on one airplane in all my life. Do you know what they're all for, Baker?
I'm afraid I don't, Joe. This transport is a new one, you know, and there's a lot of things built into her that haven't been put on any other ship. That's why I wanted a chance to look her over on the ground.
There'll be plenty of chance for that, Baker.
I don't suppose that you'd mind having Joe shop around a bit and pick up the best aviation gas he can get, would you? You see, I don't care about shoving off over the Atlantic Ocean with a cargo of kerosene.
Don't worry your head about that, Baker. How much do you think it'll take?
Well, roughly, I'd say we ought to have about 2,500 gallons, just to be on the safe side. I think those tanks will hold about 3,000.
Well, just to be on the safe side, why don't we get the whole 3,000?
The more gas we take, the harder it is to get off the ground. And I don't know just how this ship will act without a gale helping it, although it seems to have plenty of climb.
We'll get 3,000 gallons. And getting off the ground is your problem, Baker. That wind's just about down. Why don't you go out there into the lean-to and see if you can get that Lizzie started, Joe?
Okay, but I still say it's crazy to try to drive through this rain over that road with that refugee from a junkyard. But I'll have a try at it.
Well, handy having that lean-to right next to the house, so you don't have to get out into the weather to get your car. But the condition of this house doesn't exactly explain the porte-cochere piece of architect.
That what?
I meant the idea of driving right up under a roof. It just doesn't match up with a log cabin, that's all.
Ah, that's easy to explain. This cabin used to belong to a rum runner in the old days. It was just kind of handy to have a place where he could run his truck and get into shelter without being exposed. We keep everything just kind of like it was undercover, so nosy people wouldn't be looking around too much, see?
Oh, that's all right, but how about the concrete runway? It must seem, well, just a little out of place to find a fine 3/4-mile concrete strip in the heart of the Everglades.
You didn't see it when you headed down, did you?
Oh, of course not. It was covered with a foot or more water from the rain. When it dries out, what then?
That's just it, Baker. It don't dry out. That strip is covered by water the year round. All we had to do was to dam up one of those little creeks after we laid the concrete and the water backed over it. And government pilots would get curious, just find a lake, that's all.
Well, Morgan, it seems that I've hooked up with a very clever outfit.
Yeah, and you want to remember that if you ever get any ideas about double-crossing us.
Don't worry, I'll remember it. I say, it sounds like Joe's having trouble starting that flipper.
There, Baker, is the only weak link in Doc's outfit, that Joe. Plenty of muscle, but no brain. Now, if I was working with a guy like you, for instance, say, it wouldn't be any time until we could dictate our own terms with the Doc about a cut in this racket.
And just what would the Doc say if we did team together?
I'm afraid not. At least not just yet, Baker. In the first place, I'm not so sure that I know you so well. Anyhow, Doc still gives the orders. And whenever anybody tries to put something over on him, well, it's just too bad, that's all. Maybe after a while. We can talk it over later.
And suppose we do. Just where does that leave Joe?
Oh, him? Well, accidents will happen, you know. But we'll see how the things work out after we make this little hop to the Kimberly Diamond Mines.
Well, it looks as though our storm had settled down to a rain now. Hardly any wind at all.
Yeah, and that means I got to help Joe get that thing started.
Well, I'll go out there and give him a lift.
You go down to the hangar. You're not afraid of getting your feet wet and look that transport over. It's noon now, and you won't have much chance after dark.
You don't know just how long it will be before Joe gets that gas delivered, do you?
Now tell him. He may be able to make the drive in an hour, or it may take him 6. Just according to how the hurricane left the road.
Well, my feet are just about as wet as they'll ever be, so I'll take a run through your miniature lake and have a look at the ship. There's just a few details I want to make sure of before I sail out over the briny deep with her.
I think Joe and I can get that whoopee started. And if we don't, we can always call you. But don't try any monkey business, Baker. Remember, just because you're in with us now don't mean you're in good, see?
I think I see, Morgan. I'll be back pretty shortly. The next time, I'll remember to wear hip boots when we land on this trick runway. I wonder if I'll be able to pick up that wavelength. Taking a long shot in the dark, but I can fish around for it. If Anne had only made herself heard. Say, that reminds me. That ship that went over here a while ago was no transport. That was an air catter. I'm no judge of motors. I just wonder if... Gee, the way things have been happening since night before last, it got me talking to myself. Now, let's see. No use of opening these big doors any further. There's a small door there at the back. Boy, they sure put this barn right on the edge of the jungle, all right. It comes right up to the back end. And those trees and moss hanging down like that covers up its size plenty. What's that? Boy, so that's one of those alligators. Well, old fellow, thanks for the warning. You're not half as scared as I am. Huh. I wonder if this door's been opened in the last 10 years. Here's where we have a real look at this ship. And a better look at that radio. There ought to be a flashlight right about here. Yeah, there it is. Now we'll see. So that's what those new pressure gauges are. And those tanks in the top. Sealed cabin for substratosphere flight. No wonder those doors are tight. Oh, must have left that door open a bit. Now for that radio. See if I can stumble onto that government wavelength. There's a chance in 10 million because I wouldn't know what they were talking about if I did hit it. Well, it won't hurt to try. Ought to be in the higher frequencies, so I'll just... Nope, that wouldn't be it. Hey, that you, Morgan? I'm up here in the...
Jack, it's me, Anne.
Anne, what are you doing here? How did you get here? You haven't cracked up out there anywhere, have you? Is Pete all right, or was it Morrison?
Where are they, Jack? I mean Morgan and Joe.
They're across the runway over there in the lean-to next to the shack, trying to start a flipper. But how did you get here?
You haven't given me a chance, Jack. But aren't you afraid they're liable to come up in here?
Not much chance. Climb up in here. It's dark in this cabin. They'll never see you. Go on. How did you get here?
Well, I knew that you had to have that wavelength at the government station if you were going to help round up the smugglers. So while the rest were asleep, Pete and I took the aircat with the gas in it and headed for the Everglades.
But how did Pete know that we'd headed this way?
He figured it was the only place the gang would dare land this transport, thinking it was still listed as being stolen. And he knew that you couldn't get very far in the gas you had.
Good old Pete. But how did you spot this place? It looks just like a lake from above.
I happened to see the tail of this ship sticking out of the barn here, and I knew there couldn't be two ships this big around here.
But that still doesn't answer the question of how you got here. You didn't find another secret landing field, did you?
No, I bailed out, as you called it, with a parachute.
You bailed out in this storm in a parachute?
Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I managed to land in a tree. I had to cut myself loose from the chute, and then, oh, Jack, it was awful trying to get here. There was mud and underbrush and alligators and just thousands of crawling things. I thought for a while I'd never make it, but, well, here I am.
Well, Ann, if a girl ever had what it takes to be an air hostess, you've certainly got it. Bailing out of a ship into the heart of the Everglades and then walking through.
What's that?
Oh, Joe's getting underway to go for gasoline. Where's that wavelength, Ann?
Here it is. I wrote it down with indelible lipstick on this handkerchief, so if it got wet, it wouldn't wash out because I knew I'd forget it. And Morton said it had to be exact.
Never mind. I'll look at it later. Vic will be over here any minute now. How do you think you're going to get out of here?
Oh, I don't know, Jack.
There's a road of some sort over that way. Now, wait a few minutes to let Joe have plenty of time to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Then stick to the road and stop at the first house you come to that looks like it's being lived in. And then call the Miami airport and tell some of those pilots to send a car for you.
Yeah.
I know most of them. They'll do it for me. Then get back to that emergency field and tell Morrison everything's okay. And I'll keep in touch with headquarters. Now, you got that, Ann?
Yes, I think so, Jack. And here's wishing you the best of luck. Maybe I'll be a hostess by the time you get back from Africa.
You'll make it, Ann. I'll get going. I think I hear Vic splashing over the runway. He's going around to the back. You'd better stay in here until I get him back to the cabin. Then you make a dash for it. Now keep still. He's at the door.
Peggy, you still in here?
Yeah.
Come on, we'll get a bite to eat and a little rest so you'll feel like flying.
Okay, Morgan. Just a second till I put this flashlight back.
Give us plenty of time to get back to the house. Then run for it.
You bet I'll run. And goodbye, Jack.
Thought I'd better close up in case we might have visitors.
Visitors out here? Don't make me laugh, Baker.
Little does Vic Morgan realize that he and Jack have a visitor. But will Ann be able to make her way safely back to civilization? Or will she be discovered in the hangar and thus reveal Jack's position as an aide to the Secret Service? And what of our friends back at the emergency landing field? How will they, especially Aunt Hattie and Bobby, receive the news that Ann is facing the perils of the Everglades in order to help Jack? The answers mean more thrills, more adventures in the next tingling episode of Ann of the Airlines.